It's Border Crossings with Larry London from BOA Music Mix.
We welcome you to our special program. It's special because we have a live guest on the show today in our studio talking about a brand new CD. Jake Bug is with us all the way from London. So stick around. That's coming up for this part of Border Crossings on The Voice of America. Let's listen to one of Jake's big songs.
Things you do, tell me that it's up to you. Crying in the peaceful night, telling all the things you hide. That in the future, maybe all the rainbow. There's no song without love. With your eyes should you cry in your bed? Is that what you wanted? Songs about love. Is that what you hoped you would find? Well, it's burning inside, but a song about love's not enough. So what? Wanna find where you are. Hold you and your eyes fall down. You barely even make a sound. Crying in the peaceful night, showing all the things you hide. But I did in the future, maybe on the rainbow. There's no song without love. With your eyes should you cry in your bed? Wanna find where you are. I just wanna find where you are.
Border Crossings, a song about love. It's Jake Bug, who is promoting a brand new album, and he's here in Washington, D.C. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
I know you were saying the song is hard to sing. And it's probably, harder when you're here early in the morning and being on the road singing so much as you've been doing lately. But we're glad to have you in our studio. And congratulations on all the success. You're just 19.
Yeah, well, I'm 20 this month.
So. This month, right. I know, yeah. 28th, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm a 28th, so not a teenager anymore.
And so, you're sad to see the teen years go? Or?
Yeah, it's a big part of your life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Growing up before the world.
I know, I got to feel like I've got to, try and achieve more than I've achieved in the last couple of years now. So.
Now, that's going to be difficult. I mean, of course, you have a long, long road ahead of you, but you have achieved so much. I was looking at all the nominations you've had, and you Mercury Prize, which is huge. Ivor Novello is huge. You were up for a Brit Award for Breakthrough Artist, and now you're up for the Male Solo Artist of the Year at the Brits. So, I mean, and you were at the Grammys, and you've done Ellen. You've done so much in just a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been great, man. I mean, you know, I didn't think I'd do any of all of what you just mentioned, but it has happened, and so I guess the only thing to do is to keep going, I suppose.
So the first one was titled Jake Bug, and the second one, now the new one, is Shangri-La. And why did you pick that for a title?
Well, that's what the studio is called, Shangri-La, mm-hmm. And it just, you know, just being there, it was just nice, instead of, because I've been traveling around a lot, and so to mm-hmm. be in one place and not have to move in a beautiful environment, and you know, that had an impact on me and, you know, helped me feel inspired. It was, you know, it's just really nice, memorable moment.
What do you make of all these award nominations? You won the Q Award, but what do you make of all this attention and all these award nominations? And
well, it's, you know, it's nice to be nominated for doing something that you love doing anyway, mm-hmm. but you know, whether or not, you know, I win any of them, you know, it won't change how I feel or how I go about writing music. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll still stay the same. So it don't hold a lot of sentimental value for me, but it's great that, you know, people want to nominate you for something you love doing.
Mm-hmm. Would you call yourself a low-key kind of guy? Because you seem very, you know, calm, cool, you got it all together.
Yeah, I like to, you know, I like to keep myself to myself, and if anyone wants to say hello, then I'll say hello.
That's great. Jake Bug is in our studios here in D.C. We're going to ask if you'd do a song for us. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, well, I'll try, yeah.
All right. What are you going to do?
This is a song called Storm Passes Away. I think it's the last one on this new album.
All right, great. Jake Bug.
As the clouds roll by, I can see the sunshine. Cause it's sad and slow, and oh so close, we fell together, made our way. But now it seems that you don't need me. Where will you go when the storm passes away? Just like a fallen man, all the things I hoped you would say. Your radiance runs deep in my color scheme. Where will you go when the storm washes you away? Cause I'm cause they keep telling me.
That's great. Sounding great. Jake Bugg in our studios. Now, that song sounds a little rockabilly. Would you agree? I mean, as you put the song together, you think you get any influence from the rockabilly era?
Yeah, I think it's got a certain country feel to it, I think. And well, I was actually in Nashville and I was with my friend Ian and Brendan Benson's studio. Mm-hmm. And Ian said, I've seen you're in Nashville. We should probably write, you know, a bit of a country song. Mm-hmm. So I just start singing and playing, and he laughed and he said, what song's that? I goes, I don't know. I'm just singing it. And then so he started panicking and started looking for the recording machine, and yeah, it just came by accident, really.
Yeah, well, in the song you had the lyrics, I'm older than I'm supposed to be. And it's kind of interesting that you are only 19, yet you're influenced by the Beatles and Don McLean. These are not your typical 19-year-old, you know, influences. Your typical person out there would say, the Beatles? You know, I mean, how did you come to find these artists, and why did they influence you?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody knows who the Beatles are, and my, you know, when I started playing guitar, when my uncle showed me, like, you know, the first few chords, he was a big fan of the Beatles, and then he put Jimi Hendrix on for the first time, and I was blown away, disheartened at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then when I kind of get into an artist, I love going back and looking who influenced them and where it all goes back to. And because that initial feeling of excitement you get when you discover a new record or an artist, it's a bit of an addiction for me. So I just keep searching for more and more.
So who are your fans? I mean, who comes to see Jake Bugg? Who's buying the records?
Well, it's quite an interesting mix, really. It's like, at their shows, it's kind of really young girls at the front, and you know, they kind of bring their mothers, and I think the mothers get into the show, and then they probably bring their mothers, and they get into the show. So it's a mix of young and old. So it's nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is, like I said, the journey's just starting for you. So this must be an exciting time, putting out the second album and having all of the attention that you've been getting. Would you do another song for us?
Yeah, man. This one's called Me and You. It's just a little song, you know, that can be interpreted by people however they want.
All the time, people follow us where we go. But we both should believe the path that we chose. And I hold you with such delicacy. 'Cause they won't catch you in me. It's all over all of the time. And if you want to, I won't mind. Please don't leave it. I don't know what to do. 'Cause they won't catch me in you. There are too many flashes and gold around me. There's too little time and places to see. And we can wait so patiently. 'Cause they won't catch you and me. It's all over all of the time. And if you want to, I won't mind. Please don't leave it. I don't know what to do. 'Cause they won't catch me. And all of these people that want us to fail, I won't let them happen. Just you believe me, I'll hide you discreetly, discreetly from this cruel world. It's all over all of the time. And if you want, I won't
gonna catch me, any. No, they won't catch me, any. No, they won't catch me, any.
Sounding great, Jake Bugg, here on The Voice of America. Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Thank you.
You get paid for a living for singing, and it's great that you come in here and you do this kind of thing for radio stations. I really appreciate that you do that, because you're working hard. You hit that. Those are upper registered notes you're going through.
I just can't sing.
What's your favorite part of the business, songwriting or singing?
Well, I love both. I love writing songs. I mean, that's the time when you get creative, but to be able to go on a stage and to, sing those songs like it's the first time you've sang them is, it puts you in the place where you was and how you felt in that moment of time when you wrote the song. And, when people sing them back to you, it's, it's great. And sometimes they even sing them back to you with a different interpretation. It's like the song Two Fingers off the first album, what Two Fingers... means back home isn't what right. They think it means here. So, it's all peace signs over here, which is nice to see.
Right, right. So, it's great that you're able to put your thoughts and feelings into music. Now, this isn't a breakup album, because you talk about anger, you talk about some hope and some other things. So there's much more than just, man-woman relationships or man-man relationships. It's much more.
Yeah, it's... nice to make this album, because it felt more like an album than the first one, all the songs are written in the last year, and so it's quite relevant to the things that had happened, in the last 12, 16 months or whatever. And it's nice to sing some new songs as well.
Mm-hmm. And the first album, I think is this the album that came out number one, that debuted at number one? Was it the first album, or is it Shangri-La?
The first one,
Jake Bugg. Yeah. Now, you're the youngest artist from the UK to have to debut at number one.
I believe that's what someone said. Yeah, that's no one beats it.
Yeah, how modest can you? That's what someone said.
Well, I don't go reading reviews or go looking for that kind of information. So the only way you find out is when somebody said this about you, or someone said that.
Well, you are the in guy right now, and I know that even Billboard magazine called you named the album one of the top 50 albums of last year. So,
top 50.
Top 50, yeah, you don't get, but you want a top 10. You
yeah,
don't,
I do.
You don't
not
get
that modest.
So, what about the future? What are you going to do in 2014? What's the plan for this year?
Well, I suppose quite a lot of touring, really. And in the meantime, I hope, I can gather enough songs to, form another record. And whenever it comes out is, yet to be decided when it's finished, I suppose. But yeah, just a bit of touring and, seeing more parts of the world I haven't seen yet, which is great.
And so this album, you've got the Rick Rubin touch, and there's talk of the next album as well. Now, you must obviously have liked working with Rick Rubin. It must have been a good chemistry there, because that's important to like your producer.
Yeah, certainly. And, I think I didn't really know how much of a reputation he had before I went in to do this album. So, I got to meet him for Rick rather than Rick Rubin. And, it was great. And I think he's just great at getting the best out of the artists. And a lot of the songs were actually just ideas I had knocking around, and he kind of made sure that I pulled them out and made them into songs. And just the musicians he put around me, I felt, helped me to progress as a musician and as a writer. And it was a great experience all around.
So maybe you can help me understand something that I haven't been able to wrap my fingers around. A lot of artists who become very, very famous in England, like, for example, Jesse J, a Jake Bugg, you guys are big in the UK, and then America's a whole different area. But yet, everybody likes music. And why is there a difference between why would Jesse J have to redo her album for America versus, I don't understand why there's a difference between the two countries.
Well, I'd say one of the biggest differences would be the fact that we have, one radio station you kind of got to get played on. And if you get played on that place, if you don't get played on that station, it's kind of over, really.
Really? Is that BBC One or something?
Yeah, it's in some case. Whereas over here, if you don't get played on a station, there's a million different other ones to go to. And that's the thing, you got to be here, really. And Americans, I think you just have to be here, I suppose.
Right. Do you come here often?
Yeah, I will be. I'll be here a lot more often this year, certainly. Yeah.
Are you going to be planning a tour in the U.S.?
Yeah, I'll have another. I love touring here. I toured here in September, and I've just finished a tour on Saturday. So, Yeah, it's great to win over here.
No, and you mentioned something about, you know, you hear about things from other people. Where were you when you heard your music on the radio for the first time? And what was that like for you?
It was actually it was a strange experience because it was on my local station when I was still 17 at the time. And they started playing the track and it started skipping. so I'll never listen to it ever again. Never ever comes on. And like I was in the car. I came off the tour bus and I got into the car. My song was playing on the radio and there was a few fans outside and I thought I just got into a car with my own song blasting out of the windows. So I asked the driver to turn it off.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Most people would say, that's me. That's me. You said turn it off?
He goes, any station. I goes, pick any other station you want. Just get rid of it.
You don't like hearing yourself on the radio?
Not really. No, I mean, just don't want to jinx it and... You know, I mean, I enjoy hearing the songs when you're in the studio and you're writing them, but mm-hmm. when you've had to sing them, a million times and you have to go on stage and sing it, you mm-hmm. know, like it's the first ever time. And I love that bit because mm-hmm. it's live, it's different. If you mess up, you mess up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the radio, it's not compulsory to listen to it. So.
What's been the highlight for you so far?
The highlight so far, it's been quite a few, man, but I'd say one of the biggest highlights was definitely making this album, I think. You know, I never thought I'd be in a place like that, in a studio like that, or working with mm-hmm. the people that I work with, and to get an album out of it. And I've already achieved much more than I ever thought I would, and have much more than I could ever wish for. And so the only kind of thing to do is to do whatever's necessary to be able to maintain, you know, doing your tours and making your albums and... Mm-hmm. You know, this album was a kind of another stepping stone to for that.
Jake Bugg is here on The Voice of America and singer-songwriter, very talented musician. Who do you want to work with going forward? Because, you know, Rick Rubin and whatnot. I mean, who's on your wish list that you'd like to work with? As far as artists, producers, whatever.
I don't really have a wish list, to be honest. I'm just kind of staying focused on what's going on, you know, with my stuff at the minute. I'm kind of someone, if I'm around in town and I have my guitar with me and someone says, you want to come by the studio, I'll do it. You know, I'm not someone who's, I don't really like to organise those things. Mm-hmm. I enjoy moments of spontaneity. Just see what happens. That's the exciting part. I didn't know how this record was going to turn out and mm-hmm. might record a song with somebody else and it might be awful or it might be cool.
So. Now, you were called a rebel. Do you like that term? I mean, the person at NPR who spoke with you, she wrote a story and referred to you as a rebel.
Well, I don't. Why is that?
You'd have to ask her. I don't know. But you were telling me, you know, you were on the Grammys and you did three songs instead of two. That's a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it was just at a party. My songs were short, though. My songs were short, so I thought, yeah, I could squeeze it in. I had 10 minutes because they said two songs and you have 10 minutes, and I knew I could get three songs in that 10 minutes. So I'm going to do it.
It's great to have you on our show. I mean, you're a pleasure to talk to, and you're a lot of fun, and you're a great musician. Songwriter, musician.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're going to be big here in the U.S., so welcome to the States.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's it like for you when you play around the world where they don't speak English, but they know your songs? I mean, how's that feel like?
It's great. It means if you forget the words, it doesn't matter. But it's funny when you see the Japanese try and sing along. They're not even singing the right words, but they're having a go. So that's always nice.
Well, we've got them listening right now, and I'm sure they love your music. And as far as the... getting the album goes on the internet, where can people go besides the usual iTunes, Amazon, and on your website?
Yeah, you can go to the website, just jakebug.com, I think. But it's always nice to go down to a real record store and, you know, you might find something else you'd rather listen to. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, who are you listening to?
Who am I listening to? It was quite a bit weird, really. It was a guy called Vangelis, who made two albums with John Anderson, I believe.
Instrumental music.
These two albums that he made with John Anderson, like John mm-hmm. Anderson singing. So
Right.
And it's quite electro and a bit poppy and a bit, you know, 80s, but there's some deep, pretty cool melodies in there. So, mm-hmm. you know, I listen to all kinds of music, you know. I like a little bit of classical music, you know. So something to be taken away from it. Everything, even if it's not what to do.
Jake Bugg is here, and the album is called Shangri-La International Star. We're so happy to have you here on our stage, on our show. Thank you very much for doing this for us.
Oh, no, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And I want you to come back when you're in D.C. again, please.
Yeah, it'll be great, and I'll be a bit more awake next time.
Jake Bugg, our guest. And, of course, the album is Shangri-La, and he'll be on tour in 2014 and hopefully coming to a place near you. I'm Larry London. This is Border Crossings. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow, July 1st, Voice of America is making some changes to its shortwave frequencies.
Border crossings will no longer be available on 7.575, 12.11, and 15.49 megahertz shortwave. It will continue to be heard on 4.93, 6.08, 15.58, and 17.895 megahertz shortwave, as well as on our many affiliates and at voanews.com.
Border crossings once again here on The Voice of America. My name's Larry London. In our studios, all the way from Malaysia, we'd like to welcome to Washington, D.C., one of the most talented singer-songwriters. In fact, she's won so many awards, including Best Female Singer in Malaysia. We'd like to welcome Yuna to the show. Welcome.
Hi.
And you are now celebrating a brand new album.
Yeah.
Nocturnal, which is your second album. The first album was huge. You worked with Pharrell and spawned some major music there that, you know, got a lot of play around the world. So the new album is out. What's the difference between this album and the last album, which was called Yuna?
Well, this is, you know, my sophomore album, and it's pretty much, I think the first album was me trying to kind of like find my sound. Mm-hmm. I was just moving out here, I mean, like, to Los Angeles and recording and working with a lot of different producers and trying to, you know, like, still trying to figure out, like, what I want, you know, the kind of music that I wanted to do, because I came from, like, a really strict you know, like not street, but like a singer-songwriter, jazzy background.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put me in the studio with Pharrell. So you know what I mean? Like I'm just like still trying to like figure out like what kind of music I wanted to do. And this time around, I kind of like have, I have a plan of, you know, what I want in my album, you know, the kind of sound that I wanted. Like, for example, for this album, I wanted like a lot of percussions and a lot of drums and a lot of like, you know, like little hints of like traditional sounding instruments mm-hmm. in there. So yeah, I love it. For example, like Colors, the song that we just heard, you know, there's a little bit of that mm-hmm. element into that.
Mm-hmm. And you've also done more living and have more experience. In addition
yeah.
to
yeah, it's a little
in
bit
addition
more
to changing the sound of the album, there's more more substance to the
lyrically,
songwriting now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've, you know, the last 3 years has been an amazing experience for me, and yeah, I traveled a lot,
mm-hmm.
Went on tours, and you know, met a lot of people, and yeah, I mean, like it's definitely more mature than the last album.
Mm. All right, well, we're gonna ask if you wouldn't mind singing.
No,
a song for us.
Yeah, this first song that we're going to perform is Falling, which is the first track from the album.
And you wrote this about?
It's about falling asleep.
Falling asleep? Ah, see?
But it's
one
also,
would assume love.
Yeah, no, it's about, yeah, kind of, you know, how you just like, you had like a long day and, you know, like you're a little bit disheveled and you know you just want to take a rest and take a break from everything and just like fall asleep, and then hopefully the next day you'll feel better, and then like you know you get to have like a better conversation with a certain someone. So mm-hmm. yeah,
all right, well here she is, the very beautiful and talented Yuna on Border Crossings.
Protect
check up on me. I'll be all right. I turn off the lights and swim into the night.
Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful sound. Yuna's in our studio. You brought a guitarist with you. We should introduce him.
This is Lincoln, everybody.
Good morning.
Nice to have you in the studio, both of you here. And this is a U.S. tour promoting the new album Nocturnal. And
yes.
How long have you been here, and will you stay here for this tour?
Well, we just got here.
Just got here. Still jet lagged.
See, I mean, we're okay. We were from, we started off in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, okay.
You know, Chicago and Milwaukee. It's been good, yeah.
Now, what's been the hardest change? Because in Malaysia, you are a star. You can't walk out on the street without being noticed. I mean, you've won so many awards. I lost count. There were too many to count of all the awards and the nominations and the things that you've accomplished and done in Malaysia. But then you come here, and it's kind of like starting over.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been the biggest challenge for you, the biggest adjustment?
Well, I mean, I love starting over, actually. It's very exciting, you know, like you get to kind of just like start from scratch. Like it's like a blank canvas now, you know what I mean? And I think the challenge would probably be just me being homesick and missing my family and my friends, you know, because like in Malaysia, I'm kind of, when you're established, I pretty much have everybody that I know, like, you know, like, for example, like sound guy or like manager or like producers that I go to and like musicians that I hire. And pretty much like you have the connections sorted out already.
Mm-hmm.
But over here, you just kind of like, you know, starting over, and I'm like trying to find people that I could like click with and, you know, like who's not weird or
right.
like that. But yeah, I mean, Lincoln's the only person who's weird.
And you are a lawyer, so no one's going to pull the wool over on your eyes. You can't be fooled.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, I was in law school, but, you know, I never made it as a lawyer. I kind of just like, I graduated and then I got into music during my final year, so I just kind of just like stayed on that path and worked on it and focused on music.
Now, I lived in Asia for a little while. We talked about that off the air. And having been a person who grew up in Asia, the cultures are different, Asian and American, obviously. I think probably there, your parents, when you said, I want to be a musician, and dad's a lawyer, mom's a teacher, they might have said, musician? You can be a musician after you're a lawyer. I'm guessing that's probably how mom and dad felt. Or were they supportive from the get-go?
They were, well, kind of. They were like, oh, you can be a musician after you get your law degree.
Right,
you
that's know? What I thought.
And I think the reason why they were really supportive of my music career, and they really wanted me to, you know, find out how far I can go with my music, because I think it kind of freaked them out when they found out that I could write music, like my own you know, music, my own songs. And they were just like, how do you do that? You know, and they just told me to, you know, focus on that instead.
Well, that's nice to get that kind of support. That's very important. I know. And you were discovered on the internet.
Yeah.
You're a MySpace girl.
I was.
For those who forgot what MySpace
music.
Is. That's it. MySpace, internet has helped a lot of people get discovered. And I know that a record label found out about you through the internet. And, and here you are today with a new contract with a record company and promoting Nocturnal, the album. And one thing about the internet is it goes on forever. And I know you once called yourself Mary Poppins meets Coldplay. And you don't want that to be, but that's out there. That's
a bad thing.
But 7 years ago you said it, but it still comes back.
Exactly. well, you know, I love Coldplay. And, you know, someone told me once that, you know, listening to me sing, it's like watching Mary Poppins. I'm like, oh, well, thank you. I guess I'll just like, you know, like I embraced that kind of at the time. So it was pretty cool.
Do you have any formal training? You have a gorgeous voice.
No, not at all.
When did you decide? I mean, when did you feel I've got what it takes? this is what I want to do.
When I was like 7 years old, I think.
Seven,
no,
yeah.
I'm kidding. But you know, like it was one of those moments when I grew up just singing along to like commercials on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of like knew that I was singing in tune with the music,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like I can sing, it's not bad, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, I think when I was 19, when I found out that I could actually write mm-hmm. a song, you know, I was just like really excited. So I was just like kind of, okay, let's do this more and more.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go back and look at the songs you wrote when you were very young,
mm-hmm.
when you started writing, and say, what was I thinking? I mean, as a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old, and look and say, what's that? You ever try and record one of those songs?
Sometimes. But you know what? Because like although I started writing like poetries and stuff like when I was 14, but mm-hmm. I started out late, you know, like 19. I was kind of like, you know, when you're 19, you kind of like already know,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff to sing about. It's not like, you know, like super young, kind of just like very juvenile stuff that you sing about. And my first song was called Deeper Conversation, and I love that song. Mm-hmm. I'm still performing that song. Mm-hmm.
That's a big hit, right? I mean, that was a hit for you.
Yeah.
Luna's our guest. It's Border Crossings, and I mean, which do you prefer? Being on stage at a place like Lollapalooza where there's 100,000 fans, or a smaller intimate setting? Which as an artist would you rather be performing in?
It depends. I really like intimate settings. Like acoustic, obviously, because, you know, I came from that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, performing for huge crowds, for a huge crowd is a lot of fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, in Malaysia, I perform with an orchestra, with the national mm-hmm. orchestra, and it was a lot of fun, you know, performing for a huge crowd. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I imagine doing different things every once in a while kind of spices things up for
yeah,
you, changes really things cool. around. How about, I mean, I always ask, you know, if I find someone that's as beautiful as you are and acting, is that something you'd like to do? I mean, you laugh, but, you know, you're young and you've had music featured in films.
Yeah.
So how about acting? Have you thought about that?
No. I mean, like, even when I was in, you know, back home in Malaysia, when I got, like, offers, you know,
mm-hmm.
to act in films and dramas and stuff like that, I was just say no. I don't know. It's not my field.
Not
I would be
area?
A horrible actor. So.
You don't know that. Maybe one day you'll be asked to play yourself in a movie.
Maybe. For a cameo? Yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Now, here's another thing that I know about you. You have a line of clothing. You're actually your own boutique and clothing, and you design clothing, and you know, you're a businesswoman. So talk about clothing. How does that play into your career and your life?
Well, I think for in the beginning of my career, you know, obviously you're an artist and you need to, like, you know, shop
mm-hmm.
for clothes. And I don't know, I mean, like, along the way, like, I, you know, I had a lot of fans asking me, like, oh, where do you get that jacket, where do you get that scarf? And I thought, you know, oh, this would be like a great idea to kind of just like start you know, like venture into something new. And I opened up a store, and now it's an online store. It's called novemberculture.com. And, you know, designing was something that I really wanted to do for a very long time, but I didn't get a chance to kind of just like learn how to do it and, you know, produce and stuff like that. And this year, however, I came up with my first clothing line. It's called 14 November, which is my birthday.
No.
And, yeah, I mean, it's new and it's exciting. It's kind of mm-hmm. scary, actually, but yeah.
So Yuna's on tour, and the tour continues for the new album Nocturnal. Why did you call the album Nocturnal? I mean, obviously there may be a song in the album, but beyond mm-hmm. that, why did you pick this is the signature song, this is the title, this is the song that best represents, or the title that best represents what's going on the album?
You know, like, I wanted to pick something like not too pop, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I still want it to be like a little bit darker than the first album, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And also the a lot of the songs that I wrote were written, you know, when I was like not being able to sleep at night, for example.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, okay, like, open up my journal and I write down like ideas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd be like up at 3 a.m. and just like be on my piano mm-hmm. and like, you know, writing something, and I thought it would be a cool idea. Like, it's also, you know, like how a lot of people can relate to that. I feel like when you can't sleep at night, that's when you think about stuff that you're...
Too many things going through your head.
You know, like going through every single detail of your life that you didn't get to do. You know, you don't get to do that during the day because you're at work and, you know, like driving and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Where's the strangest place you've ever written a song?
Oh, wow. I guess, I don't know if this is weird, but in the car.
In the car, well.
While driving. Yeah. And that's always a good place to.
Now, do you usually, like, call your voicemail and sing it or something so you don't forget it? How do you
keep... voicemail. But, yeah, I mean, like, I record sometimes, but, yeah. Like, I tend to, like, write something when I'm, like, driving.
What kinds of things would you like to accomplish here in the U.S. that you haven't...
Wow.
Already. I mean, you got, I mean, everybody's talking about you. Vibe magazine, New York Times, you've been on the TV show, CBS News featured you.
Yay.
I mean, you know, really, you've gotten all the attention. So what is it you hope to accomplish?
Well, you know, I just want to continue being creative and, you know, spread positive energy everywhere. Like, bring joy to the world. And I don't know, just make music. And I would love one day to write for someone. I think that that would be like a great you know, thing for me, like just like make music, not make music, but you know, just write for other artists. And
who's at the top of your wish list?
I don't know, Beyonce.
All right, you knew exactly who you'd like to write for.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's something like that.
Sure.
I think I love being a performer and being an artist, but I would like to look into that as well. Kind of just like, I mean, like, I, for me personally, I feel like I can't be an artist forever. You know what I mean? I can't be a performer forever. I would want something that's solid, but still, you know, it's music, like something that I could love.
Right.
And still, like, you know, have that as a career.
And if somebody gives you an ultimatum or a choice, they say, you can't continue to do it all, Yuna, you're going to either be a songwriter or you're going to be a singer, or you're going to be a fashion designer entrepreneur.
Oh, wow.
You had to pick one of those. Which would it be?
Well, right now, it would probably be the singer first. Because once you accomplish that, you can do everything else.
That's right. Very smart. So there's the lawyer speaking.
Yay!
The practical thinking. So, you know, the new album, Nocturnal, you worked with quite a few accomplished producers as well. You work with a guy from Incubus, which is a rock band. You work with somebody from the Neptunes, not Pharrell, but another member of the Neptunes.
Chad Hugo.
So those are two different sounds. Incubus and what the Neptunes have done, you wouldn't think they'd be on the same album, the producers, but they are.
Well, you know, like, you'd be surprised how, you know, a lot of musicians, you know, regardless which background, you know, what musical background they have, they, you know, when they work with a certain artist, they kind of like mold their music also into that specific artist and the specific sound that the artists have. Yeah, I guess like I'm one of those people who just like, you know, I, because I probably have an idea of what I want to do already. So I, you know, spoke to them before writing a song, before working on, you know, like working on the music together with someone, like kind of like just talk to them, like what I like, and, you know, this is the kind of thing that I wanted to do. And they would be very helpful and very supportive.
And you have a lot of control in what's going on right now?
For this album, I mean, like, I pretty much have, like,
That's great. I mean, it is. Because, you know, that's the double-edged sword is that you get the big label and they want control. And, you know, so, but when you're, you know, smaller, independent, you get more control of your own music.
So far, you know, I work with labels and they're super supportive, and you know, they're very, they know the kind of artist that I am, and you know, they know like I write music too, so they also know that I'm extremely creative, and you know, I want to be creative as much as I can, and
All right, well, Yuna's going to sing another song for us.
This one is called I Want You Back. I'm
still up, it's 4 a.m. I don't know what to make of today. If I'm doing something right, what does every bone inside of me ache? I don't know if I'm worth it. Maybe we were perfect. I really need to call you tonight. 'Cause I just thought I should let you know I want you back. Feeling like I did something wrong, I want you back. It's giving you a heart attack. Hate myself for doing that. You're the best thing I ever.
Sounding wonderful. Sounding absolutely wonderful. Rolling Stone called her gorgeous, and I can understand why. Absolutely beautiful voice. Nocturnal is the new album. Before you go, websites where people can get the album, buy your clothing, all that stuff. Where can people reach you?
Okay, well, my official website is unamusic.com, and I'm on Twitter, unamusic. I'm also on Instagram, unamusic, and my clothing line is available at novemberculture.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also the website 14novebyuna.com will be launched pretty soon. So yeah.
All right. And do you respond to Facebook stuff and Twitter all those people write you?
I try.
You have your staff responding on your behalf?
No, I don't have anybody tweet on my behalf.
Well, you got to get mom and dad at home to do the work now. Come on, mom, have them work for you.
I know, right? Yeah.
Well, mom and dad, she made it. Unalise is here and sounding great. And
thank
it's
you.
What a pleasure it is to meet you and to hear you sing live in our studios. And don't be a stranger the next time you're in Washington.
Of
come
course.
Back.
Thanks for having
us. It's been a pleasure. So go out and get the album. It's called Nocturnal. And Una is her name. She's absolutely gorgeous. This is the Voice of America. I'm Larry London. Thanks to the whole crew for putting together today's program. This is Border Crossings on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Larry's on Twitter. Follow him at BCVOA.